prayer, as we consider His Word. Precious Father, we come to You in complete obedience, O God. We have obeyed Your voice, we have obeyed Your Spirit. You have ordained, Lord, that we should teach Your Word in this place. We ask, O God, that Your perfect will continue to be done in the hearts, in the lives, in the families of each one of these represented here. Father, it is good to be in Your perfect will. And we know, O God, that we are right in Your perfect plan and in Your perfect will, doing exactly what You have commanded. So, Father God, we ask that You show forth Your greatness in each life here. That You show forth Your blessings in each life that has come to hearken to Your Word and Your voice. That You confirm by imparting a special gifting and blessing into each heart and each life of these who have come regularly for Your Word. And may You fulfill Your purpose for each life, that which You have so predestined for each life, through these meetings, through these nights that we teach Your Word. Father, may Your will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. May Your kingdom be established, O God, in our hearts and our lives. So work Your will, Lord. And tonight, let the portion of Your Word that You so predestined to be imparted fill our hearts and lives. May we hear the voice of the living God. And may we be hearers and doers of Your Word. So let Your mercy be great upon each life here tonight. Let Your mercy be great upon us as You look down from Your throne above upon Your dear children here. We promise, O Father, to always lift up the name of Your precious Son, Jesus, and to bring all the glory, all the worship and the honor to You and You alone. We thank You for being with us tonight. May Your purpose be established tonight. Thank You, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we are on the book of Obadiah. It's a very short book, one of the shortest. It's quite a simple book. But as we have been following these themes in the study of the Old Testament, we realize that these books were preserved by the Holy Spirit, not only for the Jewish people, or just for the sake of studying about the message that God has for the Jewish people, although it includes that. And it is not only a book that was preserved by the Holy Spirit so that we could study just principles and precepts, although it includes that. But we have said that there is a divine purpose and a divine mystery in the gathering of the books in the Bible. Even the major prophets and the minor prophets of which we are studying now, that each minor prophet and major prophet, as we study the prophetic books, have a truth preserved for the end time church. And that's the jewel that we want to dig out and bring forth out of each book. So let's look at the book of Obadiah. And we see immediately that it divides itself naturally into two major portions. The division is from chapter 1. There's only one chapter. Chapter 1, verse 1 to verse 16. Verse 1 to verse 16 speaks about the judgment that will come upon the nation of Edom. Verse 17, right to the end, speaks about the salvation of the nation of Israel. So there are two major portions. Obadiah is believed to be one of the earliest books among the prophetic books. And the reason why God gave this word or this prophecy to Obadiah is because the Israelites, as they were going through different attacks or judgments that were allowed because of their own disobedience by surrounding nations, the nation of Edom helped all the surrounding nations against the Israelites. Now, who are the Edomites? The nation of Edom comes from the descendants of Esau. Esau, as we all know, is the brother of Jacob. And Jacob, later his name was changed by the angel to Israel, was the father of the modern Israelites. It's from Jacob's time that they were known as Israelites, taking after Jacob's new name. Esau was therefore a brother. And all the descendants are, in the general sense, brothers of the Israelites. The Edomites and the Israelites are related closely together. The Bible tells us in the book of Genesis, chapter 36, verse 1, that Esau also was known as Edom. So that tells us how that the Edomites, which is another word that means raid. When Esau was born, he had two characteristics, very prominent characteristics. Number one, he was reddish. Number two, he was hairy. So the father named him Hairy. That story is spoken in the book of Genesis as Jacob's wife gave birth to twins, and they were twins. So that was how they got the name. And Edom speaks about the place that they were in. It means redness. It has the same meaning. Esau, the Edomites, went to the southeast of Israel. And that whole region formerly was a very mountainous area. It was dwelt by a group of Canaanites called the Horites. And incidentally, the word Horite also means hairy. So birds of a feather flock together. But since they don't have feathers, they have hair. So we say that, mammals of the same hairiness flock gather together. The king of the Horites, we are not sure, but archaeologists believe that they were also a hairy group of people. And so somehow Esau and the Edomites were attracted to those areas. It was a very difficult mountainous area. Perhaps it was also named for its difficulty in climbing and ascending those areas. It was generally an area known as the wilderness, but there were mountains there. And that area was called Mount Seir, S-E-I-R. So these words, Esau, Edom, Mount Seir, are all in a relative way speaking about the Edomites, the descendants of Esau. Mount Seir is actually not a mountain. It is a range of mountains. And it's a whole group of mountains that are clustered together. Something like the Himalayas. And so here is Mount Seir. For some reason, it's just known by Mount Seir. It's a whole group of mountains by itself. So there was the Edomites living there, apparently peaceful, living in peaceful coexistence with the Israelites. But their kingdom that they developed reached a high point just as Moses and the Israelites were coming out from Egypt. And you read the story in the book of Numbers, chapter 20, you see how that the Edomites refused to let Moses and the Israelites pass through their land. God forbade the Israelites from fighting with the Edomites. God did not allow them. God said that He is brethren. Perhaps we should turn to all these scriptures here. Look at the book of Deuteronomy chapter 2 first. We need this background in order to discover the truths in this book. Deuteronomy chapter 2. In verse 1 onwards, Moses says, "Then we turned and journeyed into the wilderness of the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spoke to me. And we skirted Mount Seir for many days." That's the Edomite area. "And the Lord spoke to me, saying, 'You have skirted this mountain long enough. Turn northward and command the people, saying, you are about to pass through the territory of your brethren.'" Do you notice God said that the Edomites are your brethren? You're about to pass through the territory of your brethren. Israel did not have a nation yet. They were all just refugees coming out from Egypt. Or rather, they were, a lot of them behaved like refugees, but they were delivered people. They came led by Moses. They didn't have a land to call their own. They have no place at all. They were just in the wilderness wandering around. Whereas the Edomites were an established nation. They were at their climax, their peak, when the Israelites came out. In chapter 2 onwards, chapter 2, reading onwards, he says, "You are about to pass about the territory of your brethren, the descendants of Esau, who live in Seir, and they will be afraid of you. Therefore, watch yourselves carefully. Do not meddle with them, for I will not give you any of their land. No, not as much as one footstep, because I have given Mount Seir to Esau as a possession. You shall buy food from them with money that you may eat, and you shall also buy water from them with money that you may drink." You know, this is a strict command of God. God says you shall not fight with them, for they are your own brothers. So God treats the Edomites as if they are closely linked nation with the Israelites. It would be something like, what's the comparison in our modern nation? Like the Taiwanese and the Chinese. Right, they all come from the same stock, and in a sense, there is a relationship. So that's about the closeness that the Edomites and the Israelites have. Let's look at Numbers chapter 20. As the Israelites were near to the land of Canaan, the book of Numbers chapter 20. They came into the area of the Edomites again. And in verse 17 of chapter 20, book of Numbers, they requested the Edomites and said, "Please let us pass." Chapter 20, verse 17. "Please let us pass through your country. We will not pass through to fields or vineyards, nor will we drink water from wells. We will go along the king's highway. We will not turn aside to the right or to the left until we have passed through your territory." Then Edom said, now when you say Edom said, it's a summary of the entire nation. Edom said to them, to him, "Yea, you shall not pass through my land, lest I come out against you with the sword." This is the Edomites.
So there begins the hostility. And apparently, it started from two persons.